What's up, guys? We're back and we've got our resident nutritionist in the house, Annie, and our resident mentality coach, Loz, where we're diving into the interesting topic that Ben and I talk about a lot. So one of the reasons why I wanted to talk about this is because sometimes you guys don't believe what Ben and I say because the skin in the game's been too long. So we thought it'd be good to get Loz and Annie's mindset and I guess like application behind workshops because they're putting together their Finding Food Freedom workshop, which is dropping January 30. If you guys want some tickets, go to link in bio and register. And just like everything involved in making a workshop, some of the negative thoughts that come into it, some of the benefits from it, their mindsets behind it, how they put it together, who do they deliver it to, how do they think about it, all of those things, with a lot of other benefits in between. So stick around, but first hit the subscribe button. Go on. Do it. And as always, we appreciate the support. Send it out, share it, let other people know about the message that we're on. And thank you for the support so far. All right, guys, enjoy the episode and we'll speak to you next time.
I could say so, yeah.
Do not get me started.
Sometimes it's like dating apps and like likes will come through. I'm like, come on, bro, what world are we
yeah.
in?
See, you say that and I'm just like, fucking good on you, King, for shooting
yeah,
your shot.
For trying,
fucking
yeah.
You never know. He might have he might have competency.
Money.
Play. Yeah, that's it. It's like where else in the stat in,
I know,
in the status
I'm being
realm.
A superficial bitch. That's
no,
fine.
But you have
where
to
in the
be
status realm does this
someone.
Man make up for it,
Maybe
doesn't.
Never. Nowhere.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's not. Anyway, let's not.
Let's not get into men and dating because I will
yeah,
get us cancelled.
I'm fucking fascinated with that whole like relationship shit.
Yeah.
I would
yeah.
do an episode if you were just willing to risk the cancellation.
look, it's probably not the demographic for this, but
it is a super interesting topic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
Especially even just like getting into that like. I think it's like the top 3% of like men, or I think it is.
Yeah.
It's like you just have to be like above
50%
oh, right. intelligence or something,
yeah.
or 40% intelligence.
Yeah.
And then you just need to have more than $1,000 in your bank account.
Yeah. Not be overweight. Chris, yeah. We're talking
yeah.
About
yeah.
Like
not be overweight and then have like an outfit that's worth like maybe $200, $300.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just takes so little to not be shit.
And that puts you in like the most desirable of people.
Mm.
And you haven't even spoken yet.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
you're going off the fact that if you have a high IQ that you may be able to have a conversation, but who knows, there's people with a high IQ that can't.
True.
Yeah, there's a sweet spot. It's like you go
yeah,
too high.
Too
yeah.
high. It's like
yeah, it's like it sounds good.
Another realm.
It's like, oh, this man's so smart. And
yeah.
It's like,
yeah. I'm on a lecture, not a date.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Although I do think people might think that going on a date with me sometimes.
They're just getting
Loz, turn yourself off. Can't.
Love that. All right, so different turn, a different tone for this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So again, we've already introduced you guys, so everyone knows
hey.
Who you are.
Yeah.
Whether I said good things or not is up to
we'll
you guys.
See.
But what I would like to do, and as we were talking about on the other podcast, so you guys will have to tune in on Wednesday for that, where the girls talk about their workshop that they're delivering to their prospects and clients. But I thought it would be good to see because, like, when Ben and I say run a workshop. You should run a workshop. And literally a Q&A yesterday, I was like, there's two of the guys in Standout that are running workshops. And I always say to people that, if you want to get leads, if you want to get authority, if you want to build your skill set, if you want to be that go-to person in your space, you have to get in front of people.
Yeah.
Mm.
And obviously Ben and I have done, I've been doing this for like 15 years. So probably like 8 to 10 years of like workshopping, running group training programs, running workshops, running, Standout, all that stuff. And doing the podcast. And so people are like, now fuck this guy.
You
it's
don't
too,
get it.
It's too far away from me. You
right.
don't understand me.
Yeah.
So I thought what would be awesome, because we know we are big advocates of it, is to get your experience of running the workshops and even just like getting those honest conversations that you have about like, well, what if no one comes?
Yeah.
I
love this.
What do we do
currently
with that?
What's going through my head. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
we're
yeah.
going to like, even some context for you guys, like we're going to Queensland in a month.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we're going to the Gold Coast for a programming workshop and a photo shoot. So tune in for that for details coming soon. Cool ad reads as well from me. But we still, it's like, to take the team over there, it's thousands of dollars.
Yep.
And we haven't even marketed one single ticket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you got to pay for the flights. You got to pay for the accommodation.
Yeah.
You got to go. And then it's like, what happens if no one goes?
Yeah.
So
what does happen if no one goes?
Just have a great time.
About that?
Just have a great little time and our mentality, so if you want to start there, and we can.
Yeah.
So our mentality has always been, and it is now, if that happens, how can we make best use of the time?
Yeah.
So I've been in workshops, and most recently, like, we did this like collaboration at like a gym, and I won't name names. And I was the last speaker, and it ran over, ran late. Everyone was kind of walking out and stuff. Mm. And I was like, fuck, I'm literally going to present to like 20% of the room.
Yeah. Mm.
And I was pissed off about it.
Yeah.
And I rushed my presentation because I knew everyone was like, you know, sitting there and wanted to go home and stuff. And I skipped shit and whatever. And I left and I was fucking annoyed.
Yeah.
You know, and I said to Ben, I'm like, that was awful. And he was like, you did really good. And I was like, the whole thing just was awful. Mm. And he was like, well, you know, you probably should have just taken your time. You should have done this, you should have done that. And then reflecting on it, I was like, well, Tam had the camera there and I had like 15 people in front of me out of 100 or whatever it was. And I was like, I probably should have delivered it for Tam to then repurpose it, and we can use it somewhere down the line. It's good for B-roll. It's good for, like, maybe I set a couple of little nuggets in there to help people on social media.
Yep.
And I also had 15 people that I had the opportunity to show them, you know, what we're about as a business and who I am as a person, a leader, a mentor, and an educator. So now that is the attitude always.
Yeah, yeah. Like, make the absolute most out of it.
Yeah, and it's like, look, if the worst thing that happens and no one rocks up and we film some content, fuck, we go to the Gold Coast, we have a bit of fun.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't always kind of hit. You know,
yep.
Done pretty good so far, but it doesn't mean it's going to happen all the time.
Yep.
Yeah.
So we've just got to have that. But the mentality I have, and you guys will probably have the same parallels, and it's fine. You know, sometimes repetition is where the message is. It's if we don't go, what are the costs of that? What are the costs of not going? It's like, no one knows who we are. You know, no one can see the mission and the vision that we have. Like, you know, we literally sit there and say, like, 1 million outcomes is the goal.
Yeah.
So we can't do that alone. You guys have come on board as a part of that, and you've got other partners to help. We still need to influence other people, though. We've got 1 million people that we need to positively influence.
Mm.
Yeah. So then we have to go. We have to meet the person and tell them the one thing that they're going to take to their clients and tell their friends and whatever, and that person's going to take it on. It's like, we need the ripple effect.
Yeah.
And the cost of entry of that is sometimes like sending it and not knowing what's going to happen on the other side of it.
Yeah. I think you have to like redefine, well, for me anyway, like redefine what a successful outcome is.
Yeah.
I think like a lot of people, when they're planning workshops or events or a new service or like whatever it is, they hold themselves back because they're so afraid of not getting the sold out program or, you know, the room full of people, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, that's a purely outcome focused goal that you don't have 100% control over.
Yeah.
So it's like, you can't, it's the same, you know, as weight loss. It's like, you know, make it a process focused goal. It's like, my goal is to go to the gym 4 times a week and stick to my nutrition plan. If 10 kilos of weight loss happens, excellent, but I'm going to tick these boxes. And so it's the same with like running events and stuff. It's like, if you're trying to overcome that fear of failure, fear of judgment, which is what most people are struggling with, it's like, you have to redefine what success is for you. And like, success has to be the doing. So it's like, okay, I'm afraid. And if I go and do this thing, that's success to me.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you get 5 people in the room, you're not too good for 5 people.
Yeah.
Like, fucking teach them something.
Yeah.
Like, and I think people want to skip that like middle phase or like the beginning phase.
Absolutely.
And they want the sold out room. They want to be on a world tour, like whatever it is. And it's the same. I mean, I like drawing parallels. It's the same with even like my corporate job, right? It's like, I started in the call center and everyone wants to get out of the call center. It's like, you're not even good at this job. Why are we going to give you a promotion?
Yeah, it's the PT who wants to be the online coach.
You got to be good at what you're doing.
Yeah.
And where you are. Mm. And it's like, stop trying to be further ahead before you've earned your stripes.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, like, stop getting your cert four and wanting to go live in Bali and do an online coach. It's like, run sessions for a year. And I think that's like the really important part. It's like, be really good at where you are whilst being inspired by other people, but you're not them. It's like, run the event, teach 5 people. You know, like, if the intention and the successful outcome is like, I helped 5 people today, like, it's not about you. Are you doing it like for, so you can say that you had a sold out event?
Yeah.
Or are you doing it because, like, with the Design Your Life and stuff, I just want to put people in a room together where they feel supported.
Yeah, it's a really powerful message because sometimes I feel like people just like the end outcome as a little scratch of the ego.
Yes.
And they don't actually want to run the workshop for any other reason.
No.
It's like, and then to their defense as well, because I know people are going to be like, fuck you, Jason. There's also people that don't really know what else they could potentially do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's one of the beauties of coming into Standout. You have like literally like everyone of all walks of life and fitness to just be like, oh, this all can be done. Because let's be real, like if you're in a gym and like, you know, you're doing sessions and someone else ahead of you's got sessions and then they maybe hire a coach. So you're like, cool, that's all I know. I'm just going to hire a coach. That person starts doing workshops. You're like, cool, I'm just going to do workshops.
Yeah.
So you're not doing it because you sit there and go, what are these problems that the people that I want to work with have and how do I fix them? You're just like, I don't know where progression is in my career and I'm just going to follow the one person that I know has it.
Yeah.
So it is tough from that perspective, but I think at the end of the day, like you can solve that and you can deliver it with you can be genuine and do it the right way. If you sit there and reflect, like you said, it's like, what am I trying to get out of this?
Yeah.
You know, for this person, like what do they actually need? And what processes can I put in place in order to make it a success and obviously help them give value to these people at the same time?
Yeah.
As soon as one person gives their time to you, time is like, for me, time is the only thing you can't give back.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm like, the easiest way to get out of my circle is to waste my time.
Yeah.
Because you can give me money, you can give me attention, affection, you can give me gifts, you can give everything, can't give me my time back.
Yeah.
And I take that over to when we present, and it doesn't matter if there's one person or there's 40, someone's given up 60, 90 minutes of their life to listen to you speak. You give them everything that you've got. And that's not, I wasn't always like that. And I just showed you guys an example of how I fell into that trap of not being that way.
Yeah.
But I think moving forward, it's like, that is it 100%.
Mm.
Yeah. I think it, like speaking to personal trainers, which you obviously are on this podcast, I find a really strange parallel where it's like most of the things that personal trainers are preaching, which is like, you know, do the hard things, you know, stick to your meal plan, go to the gym, blah, blah, blah. It's like, cool, that's easy for you now.
Yeah, like, yeah, like, that's not a hard thing for you now.
Like,
yeah.
I will say
like
that
your
people,
delicious meals that you
make. Yeah.
So hard for me.
But like training for me is not hard. I imagine it's not hard for you either, really. It's like, I like it. And
yeah,
so
nothing, it's harder to not go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing getting in the way of me going there. Absolutely not. Yeah.
So it's like when a trainer is like being afraid or about presenting a workshop or blah, blah, blah. It's like, this is your chance to practice what you preach in another realm. Like you're telling your clients to change their life, to push their comfort zone. Going to the gym for them is the same as running a workshop for you.
Yeah, it's adopting something new that's hard and challenging.
And doing something that you're really shit at to start with.
Yeah, you like just have to be shit.
Yeah, it's scared. Mm. Scary.
Yeah, but the thing is as well, it's like when you start small, like the benefit of starting small and not in a sold out arena or whatever is like those people don't know that you're doing shit.
Yeah. Yeah, like you have information that they don't have.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like it's helpful for them. Like even if you're like, oh, that was – yeah, that was only five people and like, I feel like it went shit. Like they learned something. They got something out of it. It's like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah. That's a great outcome then. Yeah. Yeah.
How are you, have you done workshops before this one?
I've only done one workshop and that was my experience of it being like, fuck, that was so shit. Like I was just like blabbering on and blah, blah, blah. And they were like, that was so great. Thank you so much. That was really helpful. I really like got a lot out of that. And I was like, oh yeah. And sort of back to what we were talking about before about how when you're just like a regular person who's not an expert or a PT or a nutritionist or whatever, you don't know all that stuff. So like you can go and just give someone a bit of your time and give them some very basic information and that's going to be very helpful for them. So like just keeping it focused on that, like what, and I definitely get lost in that. And especially like planning out this workshop, it's like, you know, oh, what do I want to deliver and how do I want to deliver it and blah, blah, blah. And then it's like, shut up. What does that person need? That's
absolutely
it. Like, what would help them? What would they wake up tomorrow feeling better if they had?
Definitely. And it. I think the problem that we have as a culture of trainers specifically, or even educators or people wanting to move into education, is they still are using their peers as the litmus test for their worth.
Yeah.
So it's like, I need to know as much about the topic as you would know or you would know. And if I say something that maybe is dumbed down to a level that's understandable by my demographic, you know, by my ideal client, you will think less of me. Or you'll say it's shit, or you'll say you better do it better than me or whatever. When realistically, you have to know more than the person you're presenting to, and you have to be able to solve a problem and give value to that particular individual so they can go and apply it straight after the workshop.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's not in-depth science evidence-based application, you know, really well-written text and stuff. Sometimes it's a lot of swearing. It's a lot of questions. It's a lot of involvement with who you're working with. And it's like coming out the other side just, you know, with that person being relatable and willing to do what you say that, that you know, that, that, sorry, getting them to do what you want them to.
Yeah.
That is, there's too many coaches hiding behind that they need to be, you know, regarded as the as smart as their peers.
Yeah.
When you just need to be smarter than the client that you have in front of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or the person you're presenting to.
I think it's coming back to that like intention check, right? And it sounds, I can come across as harsh. I don't mean to be when I talk about, you know, like, are you doing it for your ego or are you doing it to help people? But I mean that as like an honest question because it will help you to overcome the fear. Because it's like even with fear of like posting on social media or, you know, running these events or whatever, I still get the imposter syndrome too, right? I'm like, who am I to be telling anyone, you know, what to do or speaking about this stuff or what? And the thing that always makes me go and do the thing anyway is I'm like, I'm just trying to help people. I can't fail if that's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
Like I literally can't. And so it's like I'm not doing it to become someone or because I want to feel like I'm an expert in something or for people to pat me on the back, right? It's like if that is why you're currently doing that, it's like maybe ask yourself why you need that from this part of your life and see if you can get back to the intention of just trying to help people because it just takes the pressure off.
Absolutely. It really does. Yeah. That's like what my thoughts have been the last week as well. Like, and yeah, there was so much like, oh shit, like I'm worried about this workshop and stuff. I'm like, wait, am I worried about not being able to deliver good information or am I worried about what people will think of me? I was like 100% worried about what people will think of me. So it's like, it's not about that. It's about like, do I have information that will help them? It's like, yes. Do I want to help them? Yes. That's all. And it's just taken that pressure off a lot. I'm like, oh, okay. That's where we're going to come at it from. Like, and it just makes such a difference.
So if I could, because a lot of people are going to, you've done a bit more. You're the listener right now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, maybe done one, maybe done none.
Yeah.
Is a little bit terrified.
Yeah.
And has all of these thoughts that are perfectly normal.
Yeah.
So if I can ask you directly.
Yeah.
What's going to make you show up to this workshop and give everything that you got? What is it that's actually going to make you come?
I think it, oh, me as in attend the workshop or no, me to, give
to,
the workshop?
What's going to make you do it? Because there's a lot of people like, there's people that are going to say they're going to do the workshop and then those voices are too overbearing to not. You're going to come on the 30th, I hope.
Please come.
Imagine.
And it's like, well, I want to get into that, into your mind about why you're going to be there because that's going to help other people show up too.
Yeah, I think that's actually, I won't name names, but I have a friend and she is a pretty good example of someone who's been afraid of food and has not had much confidence in herself and all that kind of stuff. And she's recently started like lifting weights, you know, and that in and of itself was like something she was scared to do kind of thing.
Yeah.
She's lived near the beach for like 10 years and she's just started like wearing shorts to the beach, you know, and it's like these huge things.
Yeah.
And like the feeling of that being like her life is actually different and better because of like having some support and having some understanding and, you know, like around nutrition and training and that kind of stuff. And just about like, you know, talking through the mentality of it as well. And like, what are you afraid of? Like that kind of stuff. It's like her life is different and better. And so for me, I think having that experience is like, it's for her. So I've everything that I'm building now in it, I'm like, it's just for her because there's other people like her.
Yeah.
So it's like, they're going to benefit too. So it's like, you know, she sends me photos all the time of like what she's doing. And it's just like something that might not be a huge deal for someone else or that's been going to the gym for 10 years. And she sends me a photo, like it's this huge triumph for her and it fucking lights me up. Like it makes me so happy. So it's like, I don't have to care if I look like a dickhead in the workshop, like, cause I'll probably look like a dickhead anyway. Like,
so you have proof of concept,
Yeah.
Because you know what you're going to talk about is going to be impactful for someone.
Yeah.
You have passion because you're just like lighting up talking about it.
Mm.
And then you have impact because you know there's other people out there that can benefit from this person who you have proof of concept about.
Yes.
Now I'm curious because like people are going to sit there and go, oh, okay, so I need passion, proof of concept, impact, right?
Quick break in the episode, guys. I just want to ask you one question. Are you running a business or are you working a job? Running a business means thinking like a business owner, having systems that do all the grindy work for you, a service that's guaranteed to get your clients results, social media and referrals that are driving business to you, and getting leads that you always close. If instead you feel like you're lost, you're stuck, you're at the mercy of your clients, you're just working another job. If that's you, you need to check out Standout PT. It's our signature education program, a 26-week online course designed to take you from working a job to actually running a business. The average coach that goes through Standout PT and completes all the modules gets a 300% increase in revenue inside their business. We have weekly workshops, weekly Q&As, and over 30 units for you to go through, all with text and video to make sure you're totally covered for everything you need in your business. Just head to stcfit.com, navigate to the Standout PT page, and book yourself a free, no obligation discovery call and see if Standout PT is right for you. Back to the show.
Do you have an idea of like what you value as a nutritionist or as a person? Like, do you have an idea of what your values are?
Oh, fuck, that's a good question. You know, it's, you know how like in the Standout stuff, you do like the value compass and stuff. Like mine changes very often.
Yeah, even your values as a person. Like,
yeah.
It's like, what are your core values? Because I'd be curious. The reason why, like, I'm not trying to make this fucking move and shit.
No, but I thought when she was talking, I was like, I wonder what she values.
Like, obviously contribution's one of them.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Usually.
But I'm just curious, like, when, if you even were, like, I don't want to put you on the spot, but it's like,
do it.
If you know what they are, what would they be? Because it's coming back to that disconnect before. We're not like people aren't going into the workshop, the program, the new business, the new service, the rebrand, whatever it is, with as a reflection of their values as a business and then as a value of them as a person.
Yeah.
And that is where a lot of these problems will start to manifest. The voices get too overbearing. The positive message coming in aren't enough. And it's like, well, hang on a minute. Like, I know for me, it's like, I value growth. I value success. I value freedom. I value loyalty. I value contribution. There's a few others there. And it's like, I know when I go into something, I'm like, this leans into all of that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, it's like, it's hard, but I value growth.
Yeah.
So it's like, how am I supposed to grow without something stressful disrupting the system for me to break through that barrier? So it's like, okay, I'm where I need to be for that. I value contribution. I'm here. We're traveling the fucking country to help other people.
Yeah.
Done. It's enough for me. So I'm curious if like, if you have that awareness or even if you look back now and you're like, I've done one workshop. I am scared no one's going to come. I am scared I'm going to fuck it up. But if I think about it, this thing, doing all this stuff lines up with what I value as a person and as a business.
Yeah.
Is that what's making me show up for the day?
Yeah, I think for sure. And I think contribution it's contribution, and like on a personal level for me, that value is also about like shared responsibility among humans. Like if you have the capacity to do something or to learn something that others don't, like it's your responsibility to share that with them.
Yeah, it's like positive influence.
Yeah. And so it's like, okay, well, there's a lot of things I'm really not good at.
Yeah.
But, well, it started as cooking. Cooking was something that I was really good. Like I just cooked when I was like a kid. Like I just really enjoyed food and I like sharing food with people and stuff like that.
How old are you?
I'm 27.
The only reason why I know how to cook is because I watched remember that show Ready, Steady, Cook?
I used to watch that
when you were sick on a school day.
I was like unemployed for like a year, like you know, like from high school to kind of get my shit together. And I used to watch that every day, so I could just like
Chewy's cooking adventures.
I could just go into the cupboard and just go, all right, we got a meal here, guys.
Yes,
like, puts the timer on.
Yeah,
it's heaps of stress on
30
for
minutes.
No reason.
Fucking make some gourmet shit.
That
so anyway, I was like, I know how to cook because of that. So I was just curious.
I think I just learned how to cook from out of necessity of just like, because I had to get it done, I had to eat. So I was like, figure it out.
I used to cook bougie shit. Now I'm just a meathead.
Yeah. No sauces for you.
Nah, calories, man. Calories.
Yeah. But yeah, so it was just like, all right, I know how to cook. That's probably partially what got me into doing nutrition. And it was like, all right, I was happy to dedicate my time to learn the science of it. So this is my skill that I have now. Yeah. There are a whole bunch of other ones that I would also like to have that I don't. Fine. But it's like, all right, this is what I've got. It can help create a positive impact in people's lives, which I have seen, which is like crazy.
Yeah.
Like it's cool to help someone like get on weight for their fight. Mm. Like, but it's so cool to just see someone like change the way they think and feel like about themselves and about the world and about how they interact with the world and stuff. It just opens up so much for them. Like it's exhausting having fears around food and like not having the information and you feel overwhelmed and all that kind of stuff. So like that's, it's a huge toll on you that you don't need. So it like
absolutely
takes that off their shoulders kind of thing. So I'd say it's just like that feels like that's what I was, I don't know, born with or like developed or whatever. That's my contribution. So it's like, you just have a responsibility to like share that kind of thing. So that's probably the biggest value.
Yeah. Contribution. There's a bit of impact going on in there.
Yeah. I don't have like the five words, like the five clear values in
there. I think once you, like, there was a period and like, I speak about the lockdowns a lot, but I had to like grow a lot as a person.
Yeah.
Because before that, I was just like the busy personal trainer who was massive and like everyone just knew me for that.
Yeah.
So I was running like a fucking super successful business. I was making money accidentally. I just didn't even have to try to have a really busy business.
That must have been really hard.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't. You know, being a good trainer at a big box gym, it's like it's a cash cow.
Yeah.
So when everything kind of – we got forced out of the gym and the industry basically got closed down, like I was like, fuck, like I'm depressed. I'm sad. I'm upset. Like, yeah, we had the business goals that have – you know, I'm still really bitter about.
Yeah.
But I've just had to get on with that, right? But it was like I had this like identity crisis. I'm like, who am I? I've had the thing that I've bound myself to my whole life taken away from me. So who the fuck am I as this person?
Yeah.
And then we did this workshop and it was like it was about this whole values thing and stuff. And we'd never really kind of like dived into it. And I guess like we might have just accidentally acted in alignment with these things that we just maybe inherently as people know that light us up. And it was like once I identified like those key things, I was like, hang on a minute, like I can use other avenues to express those.
Yeah.
So, and then now we make decisions just like our business has values.
Yeah.
You know, like they do line up, you know, somewhat to we as a people. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
But we've got, you know, four of us as like this brain trust that we all have individual values. Like the business has to have an overlap of and quite consistent values of a reflection of the people that run it.
Yeah.
And now we make decisions based on those.
Mm.
And we don't have to sit there and go, oh, let's look at the values to decide if this is what we should do.
Mm.
We all just express them.
Yeah.
And I think there's a – people sit there and wonder like, oh, I don't know what you do, how you do what you do, Loz.
Yeah.
You got all your things going on. And some like – and people say that to me all the time too. And I'm like, when you are – operating in a way that lights you up for that contribution, that impact, that, you know, growth and success and freedom and all those things that you value, health, etc. You just do it.
Like the ideas just flow to you or through you or something.
Yeah, it's just it's being in a state of flow like so often because you're just like, this is what this is fucking what I want to do because it's an expression of me and what's important to me.
Yeah. I think everyone needs those five words. Because we live in a world now where, like, you can do so many things.
Yeah.
And you can get, like, decision fatigue.
Absolutely.
Do I go over here? Should I take more downtime? You know, should I go and try this class or, like, whatever? Do I run the event? And it's, like, if you – I think about your values like your compass.
Yeah.
Like, it just makes it – if you're faced with two decisions, it's, like, which one is in line with your values? I'm going that way.
Yeah.
You know, like if I'm about to run the event and I'm scared, I'm like, cool, growth is my number one value. I'm running the event. And it just makes it so much easier to make decisions and to stop yourself from doing pointless shit too. Because it's like, you know,
you can check yourself sometimes.
Yeah. But the partying and the going out and the blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know, like people will say, is it hard to give up that kind of stuff, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, No, because if I'm working all day on a Saturday, it's like, yeah, sure. Like sometimes you feel like you're missing out a little bit.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I'm not creating freedom for myself at the bar.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely not.
And it makes the decision easier because yeah. I'm like, that's not contributing to the life that I'm trying to create. And I'm so clear on what that is now. And that might scare some people because you're not clear at all, that can feel very, very overwhelming. Mm. But until you kind of understand what it is that you value or what it is that you're trying to work towards, you'll either live someone else's life or, you know, what society expects you to do. And that's when people don't have the control and they end up in the restriction, blah, 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 because they feel like they're not actually making a decision. They're just like floating through life and they're like, how did I get here?
Mm.
Like, or they will just kind of like not do anything.
Yeah. Yeah, they're like paralyzed by choice. And,
yeah. And it builds self-confidence as well because you can tell when you come across someone who is sure about who they are and what they want.
Yeah.
And when you feel like that kind of person, like it just builds your own self-confidence because a lot of people don't feel confident because they don't feel like they understand who they are or what they're working towards, blah, blah, blah. So it's like if you're feeling decision fatigue or paralyzed or, you know, like you're not even really sure why you're making decisions, you need to start like with the values.
Yeah.
And don't just choose values that sound nice.
Yeah.
Honesty and loyalty. It's like, yeah, cool. Is that actually like you can put down success. You can put down beauty if that's what you value.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like just be honest.
I'm how do I put this? Like being assuming a role now, which I never thought I would, as like a person of influence, a mentor, a leader. It's funny, like I the idea of it 5 years ago sounded great, and then now that I'm here, it's fucking terrifying.
Is it what you expected?
No, because I feel this responsibility now.
Yeah.
And being a person that stands for something is important to me.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Now, because I'm like, well, fuck, like the spotlight's, and it's not big, you know, it's like micro influence. Like I get it, but it's like if I say and do stuff, it affects the lives of other people. I've seen it. I've said something and next thing you know, like 10 people have it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fuck. Like
the pork.
The crackle thing.
The crackle. Oh.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, just little. It's just little things like supplements, like a routine, a throwaway comment.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, you're seeing it, you know, two, 3 weeks later. So we're, again, I'm going somewhere with this. standing for something means a lot to me now because I'm like, you can't have this mixed messaging.
Yeah.
You can't be the person that's bagging on, you know, New Year's resolutions and then the next week saying what ins and outs you have for 2024. Yes. It's like you stand for nothing if you do that because they are polarizing messages.
Yeah.
So you need to really have your own values and your own, you know, house in check because, like you said, that self-confidence comes from being who you are.
Yeah.
And standing. So I can literally stand in a room and just be like, don't really agree with that, but you can agree with it. That's totally fine. This is how I do things and this is what I do and this is who I am.
Yeah.
You know, and as a business, you need to have that. You know, as a brand, you need to have that. You cannot have inconsistencies with what you stand for as a person and a business because you'll be that person chasing the next fad.
Yeah.
And having a prospect base that stand for nothing, that have no loyalty, that aren't bought into the community, that don't actually like who you are, that just want like whatever it is that you're offering at the time, and then they just bounce.
Yeah.
And if we are going to go a layer deeper than that, we probably got 2 years left before the machines come. Right?
Yeah.
And the one thing that's going to keep the businesses around that are beyond that, that can't be replaced by a machine, is connection and community. And it all stems from knowing who you are and who you stand for and what your business does because you want to draw in other people that are like that. Like we sat at the bench before, it was like fucking high achievers. And you're like, fuck, I'm all for that. And I'm like, cool, because there's like a house full of them right now.
Yeah.
We want as many of those people as we can find.
Yeah.
But to do that, you have to stand for shit.
That's the weirdest thing about business. Like when I started a business, I was like, I am going to write meal plans. And it's just like, there's so much more to it than that. And you don't realize, I was definitely someone who was like very easygoing. And I think that at the time that was a value of mine, like being an easygoing person and being kind of like a people pleaser was like the value, right? So it was like, yeah, whatever. I'd probably change my mind pretty often and that kind of thing. So it's like, then when you do have a business and you're working with other people and they rely on you and stuff like that, you have to be able to answer for everything you say. You can't just say shit on the fly and not mean anything.
Absolutely.
So it's like you have to decide what does mean something to you and what you actually do care about and believe in, so that, yeah, if someone questions you on it, then you're okay to like back it up or to just openly disagree with them based on the fact that you've actually thought through what you're saying. And that, yeah, just like the external presentation of who you are in your business, it's just not something that you know is going to happen before you have a business. Like,
yeah, you don't take it. You don't think it. Like, it's that ignorance that comes with running a business, right?
Yeah.
People don't understand the cost of entry to it, and if you want to have a red hot crack, like it's like everything you say, do, the way people look at you, or even how you react to stuff, which is something I'm really trying to work on. It all matters. And you just think like, yeah, nutritionist, meal plans, like everyone will just come to me, or that this is just the job.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's not. It's more than that. And to go to the workshop, to make the workshop, to make it a success, to have a flow on effect from that, to have a connection with people, to build a community, to have all of these things that can happen from a 90-minute workshop.
Yeah.
It's huge. And the reason why you do it, and you're going to do it to the best of your ability though, is because you stand for something. And you stand for something because you know who you are as a person, and that is based on the values that you have.
Mm. Yeah. I think like especially on social media and stuff, people are craving people that they can trust.
Absolutely.
Who don't change that. And that's not to say don't change your mind, because I think people who stick to their beliefs and blah, 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 even when there's new evidence, it's like you don't want those people either.
Yeah.
But they just want to feel like that they can rely on you, that you have their best interest. I think that's a really key thing as well, where it's like, I'm never going to tell you something just because I said it 2 years ago and I'm sticking by it.
Yeah.
It's
like, or you're just saying it for the sake of saying it.
Yeah.
To project something, to project to be someone that you're not. Because let's be real, like it's easier to talk about it than it is to be about it.
Mm. Yeah. That probably, I don't even know what you would call that value, but I say that a lot to myself when I'm by myself and I might be like making a decision or saying something to someone on a message, or even, I don't know, like I was on a run the other day and I like kind of wanted to stop, and I remember thinking, being like, don't be all talk. And like just little shit like that, because that's super important to me, because I know, and the thing is, no one's probably ever gonna see it.
Yeah. And then
no one's gonna know.
Yeah.
I could tell people all day that I am what, you know, what I say that I am, but at the end of the day, I'm really only the person that's ever gonna truly know if that's true.
Yeah.
But I have to know it's true.
Yeah. And that builds that stack of proof.
Yeah.
It has a flow on effect anyway.
Yeah. And I think like in the world of like coaching and social media and stuff, it's like there's different ways to get to the top.
Yeah.
Maybe some faster, but are you going to like who you are when you get there? I don't know. It's like that's got to matter more than the speed or the height of where you get to.
Yeah, absolutely.
And all of the workshop stuff, it's, you know, that can all come back to it. It's like, you know, be who you say that you are, or be who you say that you want to be. Be who you're trying to inspire other people to be. Mm. Like it's just because, as you said, with like the machines and stuff, like, it's becoming rarer. I think I said this in the first workshop I went to for SDC, being like, with AI and technology and blah, 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 it's like you can either sit there and be like, my job's going to be gone in 2 years, or you can be like, people are going to be craving connection more than ever.
Yeah.
There's an opportunity there if you're willing to like try and fill it for people. But it has to be real.
Because that's the whole point. Otherwise, you may as well just be AI.
You may as well just talk to Cortana.
Yeah.
I didn't hit my macros this week, Cortana.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, you can have a cheat meal.
Yeah. Yeah,
follow those next week.
Maybe try harder.
Yeah. Have you thought about actually doing it?
Actually sounds like a pretty good coach.
Yeah.
Sounds like a lot of coaches probably out there.
Yeah.
All right. So you guys come together and threw some ideas around and come out with this workshop at the end, which is going to be fucking awesome. How did you get there? You know, how did you guys, like, what are the things that you guys
see our spreadsheets?
Yeah, I can imagine. I've seen losses at work. It's like, it's terrifying. Hear me thinking I'm like a spreadsheet geek. It's like, sure. You're like, yeah, it's cute. It's like a guy that can like, you know, maybe like bench 100 and the dude can bench like 170. He's like, that's cute, bro.
Are you done warming up?
Absolutely. So where, for someone who wants to start this process, where do you start? Like, where did you guys
start? We started with a value compass.
Yeah.
We got together and were like, are we on the same page about this? And we absolutely were. We're like, who do we want to talk to in this? And what do we want to, like, help them achieve kind of thing? And based on
what are they struggling with?
What are they struggling with? And what have they always been struggling with? And what's our actual solution for that? So, yeah, Value Compass was first.
So if you guys, so shameless plug, Value Compass is in standout. Is that free on the website still, Tam? The Value Compass? So Learn Link and Bio, talk about the value. You can get it. You can get your own copy. So go on there and get it right now.
We used to be just like
so talk, just, you know, if you could sum up what a value compass is in 15 seconds, what would it be to you?
I'll go. It's values driven, like we were just spoke about. So it was kind of like, well, what are the three main problems that we're trying to solve? Mm-hmm. Who's the overarching target audience, like their age, you know, what's the client avatar kind of thing? Are they female, male? Are they corporates, you know, coaches, that kind of thing? And then what are our solutions to the problems that we have identified? And then what's like the big kind of outcome that we can say that we're going to deliver to them? And then the content is based from that.
Yeah. So I feel when someone gets into personal training that, when people get into workshopping to avoid it being a lecture, the value compass becomes way more specific on solving an issue. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. Because it's not like if you start with just what am I going to teach them, it's like how is teaching them that solving a problem?
Yeah.
Agreed. And that's something that I used to get really – I was not good at. I was like, I have all this information here. Yeah. And it was like, do they even want it? Is it useful for their problem?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. And so by starting with the problems that you're trying to solve and also then the outcomes on the other side, it's like, okay, cool. You can start to ask yourself the question, what information does the client need to get from A to B?
Yep.
And the content design becomes a lot easier.
Yeah, it's like you're working backwards from it. Because I have built multiple workshops that I've never actually done that are just on the fundamentals of nutrition. There's like three of them and they all say the same shit, but it's like different fonts and stuff because I've had the idea like three separate times and then I'm like, oh, this is the same thing.
Yeah.
But like going through it, I'm like, this isn't it. Like this isn't it at all.
It's not
like
solving
scrap
a problem.
The whole thing. Exactly. It's like this person doesn't need to know the grams of whatever. It's just like, what is their problem? And then you backwards engineer.
Well, there's a person who does, but maybe not the person that you think needs it.
Or it's like, I know that they need to know that and I'm going to weave it in there, but it's like, it has to be kind of like, you got to kind of like Mr. Miyagi and like secretly teach them the shit.
Yeah, it's blending the veggies in with the pasta sauce, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But there's always someone who needs something. It's just the problem that we have as coaches and as business owners is we don't line up the messaging with the actual person that we want to sit in front of us. We just kind of like create information. It's heavily textbook based because that's how we learned.
Yeah.
You know, we learn at school, learn at, you know, after school as well. It's like everything's really formal presentation type and it's not, there's no connection to it. There's no actual real emotion behind it. And that's where you might get three people rock up.
Yeah.
Because it's like no one actually knows if it's for them.
Mm. You know? Yeah, exactly.
Where if you're like, you take last podcast Wednesday for the listeners and you talk about those real emotional things that we spoke about. And you lean into those things in the messaging beforehand and the outcomes that they can expect to get afterwards. There's a group of people out there that are like, fuck, that's me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. More than there would be if you're just like, learn nutrition and stick to your macros and get goals. Like people are just like, fuck, this is not for me.
Yeah.
I think like, something that can help is I think often coaches and educators and stuff are often teaching people things almost to like a past version of themselves.
Yeah.
Like, what would I have wanted to know 3 years ago? Mm. And that can make everything so clear. Or it might be a client that you have, like Annie, and I've had a couple where I kind of had them in mind to be like, I'm designing it for them.
Yep.
And then you can, that makes it a lot easier as well because you're like, what do they struggle with? You know, what have we spoken about? You know, what would they want to hear? What are they afraid of? So you can start to get ahead of those things as well.
Yeah.
Like how we spoke about on the Fit podcast, people being afraid of like, the gaining weight and stuff. It's like we identified that super early. Or people being afraid that they have to let go of their physique goals. It's like we kind of saw that was going to be a rebuttal as to why people wouldn't want to engage with the content. And then once you can identify what some of the arguments is maybe the wrong word, but
the debates.
Yeah, of like, yeah, but, and you're like, and then if you can foresee them coming, you can use that in your messaging too. So I think we've done a couple of like, we know you think you have to, attract, you know, like disrupt. Let go of your physique goals.
Yeah, yeah.
Good, you've brainwashed it, mate.
Yeah. Deep content creation last week.
Fresh in her brain.
It's really not.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can start to like,
I got to two and I was like, fuck, what's the rest?
She's like, Loz, keep talking. I don't know anymore.
Shit.
But you can make people, that also makes people feel more understood as well. Because it's like, oh, they understand not only my problem, but also the fears I have around solving said problem.
Mm.
And that can help with the messaging and also just like helping people to be like, hey, we get it. You're afraid.
Yep.
It's cool.
Quick episode break. You guys know if you've seen anything that I create on my stories, my design skills suck. My socials still look good because we went and got help. Now you can too. STC's new web service can take your business branding and design to the next level. Ash and the team didn't just create templates for us. They dove into who we were, what we cared about, and what our message is, and helped us to design an overall brand that represents what we care about. We use their social pack every single day. They built our website and they even helped us build out our app. All those services are now available to you. You just have to go to stcfit.com, navigate to web services, find out what it's all about, and book a free discovery call to see what is right for you.
Okay, so we had this cool idea to do a workshop. Then you guys were like, so where did the idea come from? So you've got the idea, then you created the value compass. So what made you guys think about doing the food freedom topic? Was it something that you were just like, Annie was like, fuck, I'm just experiencing this heat with heaps at the moment? Was it somewhere where you're like, what are the most common out, like what's the biggest connection between those two services that you guys provide? Like what made you think about that particular topic?
I think it was a little bit, because it started messier than being like, oh, we have this clear idea of like what we want to do and who we want to help. But I think it kind of just naturally came about just from chatting about like who we both kind of want to help, and it just kind of that evolved into this person that needed that food freedom kind of you know help. So yeah, it was like what clients do I have that I know need that extra bit as well, that mentality bit, that it's like I can't offer them, I can't give them. So it's like, what are the, there's people that I work with currently that it's like they're close and they've made a lot of progress, but it's like there's a missing piece of that
puzzle.
This is going
to have the most amount of impact on their journey working with you.
And it was just obvious to both of us that it was about like that like letting go of those fears and letting go of that restriction, and because we both know what's on the other side of that.
I guess
that's kind of where it came from.
Like, I think when the first time we chatted at the STC meetup, I said, I want to work with you. I've got food restriction clients who were, again, making a lot of progress, but sometimes I feel like they need just something to kind of follow or a bit more like information than I'm going to cover in a call kind of thing. Like I give them information through message and stuff like that. But yeah, I just saw like a gap in that kind of client that I feel like is super powerful to kind of like bring together. And then we just kind of went from there.
So people at home listening in, it's like if you think about the commonalities that your clients have in terms of like the obstacles that they face. So the girls obviously just like identified like, hey, this is like, I've got food clients. I've got client. This is my main space, but I have mentality clients in relation to food. This is a hole. We need to plug it.
Yeah.
And then we kind of flowed on from there. It's like, okay, well, who's this person? Like really, if we go deep down into like describing them, it's like, what age bracket are they?
Yeah.
What are they, a specific gender? You know, what are their behavior types in life? Are they high achieving? Are they this or that? Do they have a certain type of income? Like, do they live a certain way? Then moving down to the obstacles and stuff, or the problems that you guys said, the pains that they experience, and then what you wanted to solve at the end of that.
Yeah.
Amazing. And then what came out of it? Like, do you guys have like an outline for the workshop yet? Are you still kind of like brainstorming that on like how it's going to run?
Yeah. So I try not to be overpowering in collaborations because I'm like, this is how I create workshops.
And I'm like, it's really tough. Be overpowering. Tell me what to do.
So I can talk through my method. And this is what I said to Annie on one of our first calls. I was like, this is how I've done it and how it works best for me. It's also how I used to write year 12 essays. So it's like, it's not, it's my way. Yeah. And I'm like, you don't need to kind of plug into it, but that's how I do it. So like, once I've kind of worked out, like the messaging that I'm trying to get across, I'll tend to just do a big brain dump. I'm just like writing out every single thing that I think I want to say. And I might even have like activity, do this, blah, blah, blah. And it's messy. And I really want to like articulate.
It's just like a mind map.
It's just like, and once I've kind of got all of that out, and as I'm writing, other ideas will come to me. And maybe if I read it back, I'm like, this will go in here, blah, blah, blah. So I start like that. Then once I've kind of read through it, I pull it apart into sections. Like I kind of group information together and go like, okay, this goes with this, this goes with this. And then I put it in like an order. And then I use that information to create like the slides and the activity workbook and that kind of thing. So I start messy and then like
clean it up,
refine.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think the first step is really important because I think a lot of people try and go like, what topics am I going to cover? And, you know, like what order is it going to go in and how's the layout going to look? It's like, just sit there and write.
Yeah. Just dump your thoughts.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
And the information out.
Yeah. So we work together on, like what topics that we wanted to cover, because sometimes on a broad topic like this, it's like we could probably talk.
You've got to kind of dial in a bit, right?
Yeah. And also like what would go with mindset and what would go with nutrition.
Yeah.
And then just bounce back and forth to be like what needs to go in what order and that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. What about yourself, Annie?
My method... There's no method.
Just talk about stuff.
My method is just, essentially brain dump. And then spend a few days marinating on that, brain dumping again, just kind of just getting all the ideas out there because there is so much to say.
Of course.
There's just, I think both of us, there's just so many different like subtopics within it. So it's like, all right, brain dump and then keep reminding myself who the person is and then being like, okay, this is actually relevant. And then, just kind of creating some sort of outline of stuff.
Do you guys start, like, could you just be walking down a shopping aisle and just think about one thing you got to add?
Yes.
Yeah.
Fuck, man. It constantly. Just like takes over my life.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Like I'll be talking to my wife and like we're out and I'm just like, 1 second.
Yeah.
Like, add this to this. Yeah.
Yeah. Phone notes are hectic.
Yeah.
Like really hectic.
Yeah. Yep.
I wrote the next chapter in my phone notes on a walk for like 20 minutes in the at the halfway point of a powerlifting meet that I was at with Ben.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I just like went for a walk and was like, I have this idea. I'll be back. And just phone dumped it. It was, you can't time when they're going to come.
No.
Yeah. There's no perfect way to make something. And I think that like yours is, there's commonalities between the two, but then there's there's differences as well. Yeah. I think like the reason why I want to share that is like you guys like, sometimes their thoughts, like the brain dump, can be enough to just make someone stop.
Yeah.
They're like, it's messy. There's just, I don't know how to put, like I'm just throwing shit out on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
And then you were like, I need to wait a couple of days, let that kind of marinate. And then I'm going to brain dump again. And now I can see the matrix of how this is going to happen. Where people will just go, I don't know.
Start with the slides.
If it was actual like step by step, and I don't know how this is going to go. I think the thing that helps me get from brain dump to actual like deliverable product or service kind of thing is having to remind myself a million times of who the person is. And then that's it. It's just like, how are they going to like absorb this best? So, cause everything I do is super messy and I've done a million like half baked ideas of just like writing a whole bunch of shit down. And then it just sits there.
Doesn't
like, you should see my Canva.
Yet.
It's disgusting. Like there's just so much.
I think that comes back to like the redefinition.
You should see our Google Drive.
Google Drive scares me.
I'll raise you on that shit.
No. Our Google Drive. How many tabs have you got open?
Oh yeah. I tell you what, you took
the
cake on
that
one. You. I know you can. I've seen it.
Oh my God. It gives me anxiety. My Canva is a mess too. I didn't even realize you can have folders. I really should have done that.
Can you?
You can. Yeah. I'm trying to.
I wouldn't see. Once I put something in a folder, I forget about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think like what you were saying in terms of like, it sits there as a half-baked idea. It's like that comes back to what we were talking about at the start, right? It's like redefine success. Success has to be execution.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like no matter how much you think it went terribly or whatever, it's like an executed idea is always better than a half-baked one.
Yeah. I'm telling you now, you'll find like, it's highly likely you'll revisit those. Like we've had
shit
we put on ice. Like we talked about last week, we just had a project we put on ice for like 18 months. And then all of a sudden now, like I have to build three of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like in the next month, I'm like, where the fuck did this come from? And like, just like couldn't find it. We didn't even know how much it was. Like, yep. It was so long ago. So you'll find that, like, it wasn't a waste of time.
Oh, no.
Like, and you'll get better at, like, packaging the presentations and that. And that's one of the things that I can say just from doing so many of them now.
Mm. Yeah.
Is, like, you'll have a system that works for you.
Yeah.
So it might not be at some point brain dumping. No, you know, because it's funny, like, if I look at how I do it.
Yeah, how do you do it?
It's the opposite.
Really?
Yeah. So, like, you know, like, we made the Value Compass because that's how we think.
Yeah.
You know, because we're very system orientated, and we try to make, you know, we act the way that we say that you should, right? Like, so we give the activity. It's like we do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I can't sit here and be like, oh, I do something totally different, but, like, follow the Value Compass because I told you to. Like, that's being a piece of shit, in my opinion.
Yeah. I'm above the Value Compass.
Yeah. It's like it's like saying this is how I program and then you don't. Yeah. Like, you know, as a coach, like, I just don't like that. And I know a lot of people do that. So I think having the information like you guys brained up is great. And I'll probably do that in a different area.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll have overarching, like, these are the main areas that I want to discuss.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll have, like, I'll break it up into, like, so, like, the programming workshop. I was like, okay, we've got 2 days. I have a day and I have 3 sessions to do this in. So now I'm like, if I'm to sum up all the information that I want to talk about into 3 sessions, they have to have overarching labels to them.
Yeah.
So it'll be like, you know, fundamentals, then it'll be like, you know, finer details, the programming, and then the last one will be like exercise selection or something like that. And then I'll, like, start unpacking everything after that, kind of flowing things on from there. But that's only because I'm very regimented and very system orientated.
Well, that's funny. That is actually kind of how I do it.
Yeah.
So for even, like, the next chapter, it was like 8 weeks, and I wrote out the topics for each of the 8 weeks, and then I did dot points underneath each of the topics, and then I did the big kind of.
Absolutely. I think that's the most consistent way to do it, but you can do the brain dump and take and drag them.
Oh, I move stuff all through the weeks.
You know, like, you can drag them to the topics because you know the reason why you brain dump is because you're like, I need people to know this. But then it's like,
I don't know where.
Yeah. So if you're someone who struggles with flow of, like you said before, like the structure and the this and the that, it's like what I'm trying to get at here is, like, there's 3 different ways to do this. We've just explained. Oh, yeah. And you do sometimes at this and then other ways. So, like, maybe just putting stuff on a sheet and just, like, fucking around and figuring out is the way to go with that.
Yeah.
And then other people who might get overwhelmed with just all of that information on a piece of paper, like, maybe that person needs that structure. And it's like, cool, what do you want to talk about? If you can break it up into, like, 5 categories or 4 sections and that's your workshop, do that first. And then it's like dot point under that.
Yeah.
Then you start formulating the actual presentation itself.
Yeah. I think if they're struggling with topics as well, because sometimes people are like, I know I want to run a workshop. What the fuck am I going to talk about? Go ask your clients what the biggest thing is that they're struggling with right now.
Yeah.
And then present on that. Like, absolutely. It's the easiest way to do it. Yeah. It's just to be, because at the end of the day, your intention is to solve a problem. Go and find out what the biggest problem, is and then go and solve it. Or you can go the other route and be like, for the first one, you know, what's the thing that you're most passionate about? Because maybe, like, that's the easiest thing for you to just, like, tick a box. I did a workshop.
Not actually talk about,
Yeah, but, like, I'd probably go the first route of, like, trying to solve your clients, which is who you're trying to help, biggest problem. Because then you can really hold tight onto that, like, I'm just trying to help them.
Yeah.
It's not about me presenting.
Yeah. The other day, I can't remember what I was. It was something on my stories and it was something about food. And then I just posted a little, like, what's your biggest challenge with meal prepping? Like, is it not knowing what to cook? Is it running out of ideas, not knowing how to cook, or, like, something else? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And it was a really overwhelming, like, obvious response for, like, people have run out of ideas. And I was like, oh, shit, there you go. There's my next, like,
absolutely.
There's my next free service for people. It's just, like, how to fucking cook shit that's different and tastes good.
Yeah, that tastes good. Yep.
So it's like, you just ask them, like, what do you need?
Yeah.
What's hard? And then it's like, oh, cool. I have a solution for that.
Yeah,
and
people have boots on the ground, like, market research in front of them.
Yeah.
They just don't remember.
Yeah.
So go ask the 3 clients that represent the person that you would want 30 of.
Yeah.
You know, and then ask them exactly how they think and feel and wake up in the morning and struggle with, and, you know, what they don't know and what scares them and what they want to achieve. And it's like, there goes, that's everything you need as a business.
Yeah, that's it. That's the whole.
If you're really struggling with, like, the fear of failure or, like, whatever it is, it's like, if you've got a couple of clients that you're, like, pretty close with, it's like, send them the workshop.
Yeah.
Like I've done that with clients before, being like, yeah. hey, can you have a look at this for me? Like tell me if it's any good or tell me if it's something that you would listen to.
Mm.
Like if you need that kind of like vote of confidence, it's like people love being involved in stuff, especially like imagine absolutely. If you had a coach and they were like, hey, I'm going to run this thing. I'd love for you to look at it for me.
Yeah.
Like little things like that can just give you a little like boost to be like, all right, the person that I'm trying to help says it would be useful. Mm. Now I can go and do the thing knowing that.
Yeah. And like if the thing that's like stressing you out is like not knowing how to start or like, you know, all my half-baked ideas that are just sitting there, it's like I don't see any time as wasted. Like any of the time that I've spent building like workshops and stuff for me, that is absolutely valuable for me because it's I practice communication. Like I'm practicing like putting what I know on paper for other people. So it's like even if they're sitting there and they're not – they haven't been executed or whatever, I'm like – I'm not sitting around being like, oh, I wasted 4 hours writing that. I'm like, I just practiced writing something, you know? So it's like, even if you sort of find that the method that you started with is shit and you don't like it, it's like, well, now you know that.
Yes.
You know, now you can try the next one.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've kind of already repeated all this stuff, but I want to bunch it up. So I'm going to ask you guys questions. What are your three biggest fears and three biggest things that excite you about presenting your workshop?
Biggest fears will just be probably it's funny because now that we've like broken it down so much, I'm like, there are no fears. It's fine. It's great.
Just fixed.
Solved. This is the reason why you're here, man. We're just messing with you, you know.
This is actually an intervention.
That's we just again blended the veggies with the pasta sauce. Bang. Surprise.
Gave you what you wanted. Gave you what you needed. Disguised what you wanted.
Yeah, I think the fears would have been no one comes.
Yeah.
I forget what I'm saying or I speak poorly and my message doesn't get across and I just look like a giant fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Three biggest fears.
What happens if that happens though?
Nothing. Exactly. I just continue living my life. Like you tell yourself that story of like, oh, but this one person on Instagram is going to think like poorly of me. And what's that? There's a quote. I'm going to butcher the quote, but I think it's like something about a flower is still a flower regardless of if you think it's beautiful or ugly. And not to put that towards like physical appearances and stuff, but it's just like if you fucked up that workshop, whether someone thinks you did or didn't, it's exactly as it is. So it's like reminding myself of that is like, well, it is what it is. Like it's going to be exactly how it is.
Yeah, you're going to wake up the next day, you're still going to be breathing, still a roof over your head, still people that love you, someone you still bring value to everything. Yeah, absolutely.
And someone might love it. Like you can't,
So more importantly, what are the three things that excite you?
The three things that excite me would just be like if 3 weeks after the workshop someone messages me and was like, hey, that was really helpful and I had this experience in life because of this. Like that's – can that be all three?
It can. Like, is there anything else?
I think –
Think about it from a business and a growth perspective
as
well.
Yeah, I was just going to say the other
like,
part
I get it. It's, we want to be fulfilled and we want to, you know, have impact and stuff, but like – you know, we want to grow a business and we want to like, you know, we want to, like some of you guys might, it's like, I want more clients. I want to make more money. I want to, I want to be the person in my space where people come to me. So I need that authority. Like, it's okay for us to talk about that stuff. This is the realm we live in.
Yeah. I think the other exciting thing more like personal will be just because I will find it really difficult to do. Like speaking in front of a lot of people. I think now because I like what I do and stuff, I feel a little bit more comfortable about it. But like a few years ago, you could ask me what my biggest fear was and it would be in front public of speaking 100%. Yeah.
That's so everybody's like, mainly, right? Was it like drowning and public speaking, I think, are like their biggest fears? Yeah.
Like people will probably go and drown before they've spoken about
Absolutely.
It feels the same.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think just like doing something that fucking kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Like it's really hard.
Yeah.
And then you get to... Yeah, you're like, all right, cool. That's done now. So now I can do the next level.
What else am I capable of?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
If I overcome this thing I feared so much, what else could I do?
Yeah.
So it's like basically what we spoke about with your clients. You're doing with yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I love that.
And then I guess the third thing would be like, I don't know, just the actual process of creating it and, you know, marketing it, and then like the systems
proof
behind
of concept.
It, and actually, just building it, just
works.
Getting the reps in of just,
love that.
Doing something.
What about you? Are you scared of anything?
Well,
just drowning.
No.
I don't. I don't have three fears, that's for sure.
Even if we like, if we go, what are the three negative things that maybe every now and then potentially creep into your mind?
I still, and yeah, I don't want it to come across like I never get afraid.
No, I get it.
That's not true.
Yeah.
I definitely still feel the fear of, you know, like, what if no one comes? Yeah. I don't know if that will ever go away.
I don't think it does.
I don't even think I want it to go away.
Yeah.
Because I think it just means that I care.
Yeah. I kind of liken it to a little healthy bit of imposter syndrome to a degree. I'm like,
keep yourself humble.
If you know you can just, because like I've been to seminars where like someone could just say their name's coming and they come.
Yeah.
And they're fucking shit. They've been the worst ones that I've been to and they've cost the most money.
Yeah.
Literally sat down with like, you know, RIP, his name is Charles Poliquin. He's like the GOAT of like S&C back in the day and put PT on the map in our country, in our opinion. And he was like, yeah, cool, I'm doing this. And you could tell that like he's a guy who just like would fill a room. And then we just sat there and he's like, all right, what do you want to know? I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And it was just like anecdotal stuff that doesn't even make any sense now. Mm. A lot of it, you needed to be on PEDs to apply it. So it probably would work now, but maybe not 20 years ago. And, you know, it's just like, I think if you feel a little bit that people might not come, you're like, I need to fucking show up, make sure this is everything.
Yeah.
This has to be
kind of like just having respect for it, like respect for other
people. Yeah, yeah. You kind of see people sometimes, you know, as a symptom of like prolonged notoriety.
Yes.
They're just like, people will come.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter what I fucking do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I even said it like the Design Your Life blueprint. I think that the first thing I said was like, I don't take it lightly that you guys are here.
Yeah.
And I never will. One person, 10 people, 20 people. Like, I have this chat with myself if I'm tired right before a coaching call. Like, this person doesn't give a fuck, you're tired, pull it together.
Mm.
This person needs the next hour of your time.
Yeah.
And that will snap me out of it. I don't know if I would call it a fear of people not coming, but obviously, like, anything I do, I want it to be impactful and successful, and that will be increased if there's more people there. So it's something that is on my mind. I don't necessarily think that I am afraid of anything else. And that's not to say that I have never been afraid.
Hmm.
I love presenting. Hmm. Like, I do. I'm probably, when you said like, oh, like almost everyone's afraid of public speaking. I've never been afraid of public speaking. I don't know why, but I think I just trained myself from a very early age to enjoy it. I don't know. Brain's kind of funny, but, yeah, I like, especially teaching things that I feel really passionately about.
Yeah.
That I think is going to help people. I love it. And the thing is, and I think people can get to this stage because I tell myself, and maybe I'm tricking myself, I tell myself I love public speaking all the time. Mm.
Yeah.
It's like, you tell yourself that enough.
Well, if you say you fucking hate it, what are you going to show up? Correct.
I'm terrified of public speaking. Stop saying that.
Yeah.
You can, it doesn't have to be I love it, but it can be like, I find public speaking challenging or anything like that.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think I've just told myself that for long enough that now I believe it.
Yeah.
I'm really excited. I've never spoken on this topic before. So that's probably maybe a fear, that maybe it won't come as naturally to me as something that I've done before.
I definitely have that.
Yeah.
If I haven't presented something, I'm like, fuck, do I really know this?
Yeah.
Yeah, especially the first time, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, so it'll be the first run through newly created content. Yeah. So there's always that kind of uncertainty of like, oh, how's this going to go? And is it going to go long? And I don't know if it's, you know, suited to the time. I always speak long, so I need to make them shorter. So those are probably like the two fears. The things I'm excited for is the fact also that this is something I haven't spoken on before.
Mm.
And it really brings together like my past or like the past careers, like the nutrition and the fitness stuff. And I'm speaking to the same person, but now in the way that I think is going to be really impactful, not just teaching them about macros. Mm. So that's really cool. Like, I think this is the first... this first collab online workshop I've done. I've never worked with Annie before. So it's a cool new space to be in. And I'm just really excited to help people and also to, which sounds like a cliche, but it's true, to help people in this space because like I know how like isolating it can feel and how much of the messaging out there is so far the other way that you feel like no one will kind of ever get it. I like making people feel like, hey, I get it.
Mm.
Yeah.
And like that really excites me. So I'm hoping to work with this more of this type of client as well afterwards, and build a bit of like authority in this area in my way, you know, not go so into like anti-diet culture, blah, blah, blah. Like I'm not that. So I'm excited to kind of like attack the space in the way that I think is best.
Yeah, I love that. So we actually haven't really spoken about what the fuck the workshop is. So I know there's people who are going to listen to this and be like, is this for me? When is it on? Like, how can I get tickets? So what is it and when is it and how do people get involved?
Yeah. So it's called Finding Food Freedom. It's on the 30th of January at 7 p.m., which is a Tuesday night. It's online on Zoom. So you can get, you just have to register. It's free. You don't have to pay anything to come along. You can either go to either mine or Annie's Instagram pages, link in bio, but also show notes, STC page. I think it's on there.
Link
in
bio on STC Fit, not Learn.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's how people get involved. And we're really just trying to come at the problem of food restriction, always trying to eat lower calories, like low body confidence, kind of stuck in this endless cycle that people feel like they're never going to break out of, and trying to come at it from the mindset side, understanding the fears, how to overcome them, but then also giving some like evidence-based but helpful and simple nutrition information to go alongside that. Have I missed anything?
You have not.
Okay. Love that. So Jan 30.
Yeah. 7 p.m. Melbourne time. 7 p.m. Melbourne time. North.
Yeah.
If you're in Queensland.
I love that. All right. I think we might wrap it there, guys. That was amazing. That was so good.
I love that.
Thank you guys for coming.
You're welcome.
And yeah.
Come to the workshop.
Hit the subscribe button. I say that every episode now. Subscribe button. Thank you guys for the support. Hope you enjoy the episode. Let us and the girls know what you think. And we'll catch you next time.